Bibles, if you would, please, tonight. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be speaking on a topic that I hope you'll come back for, and is what is really going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ. And unless Pastor just preached on it last week. Okay, all right, good. But in all seriousness, what's going to really happen at the judgment seat of Christ? There's a lot of confusion, and there's a lot of different people that say a bunch of different things. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things that I was taught, I found out later in life, was actually not true. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow. So that's what is in store for tomorrow night. And also, one more thing I'll say about tomorrow. I see folks, and Pastor did text me before the service and said people would be casual. And you all did come casual. So I'll take a cue from you all, and I'm going to wear my favorite Hawaiian shirt tomorrow. All right? My wife's giving me looks. No, she's not. What? We may not match. We're just warning you. Because we don't usually like perform in Hawaiian shirts, so but I'm going to wear my favorite Hawaiian shirt tomorrow. So brother Fry might as well. I don't know. Do you have a Hawaiian shirt? I don't know. We don't know. His wife's shaking her head, so I don't know what's going to happen over here. But we had a great time of fellowship with them on Sunday, by the way, and we have similar senses of humor, so that could be dangerous. And our sons have similar sense of humor. That's even more dangerous. All right, enough chit-chat. If you are able to stand, I'd like to ask you to do so. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if I didn't tell you that already. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. We've enjoyed being with you yesterday and appreciate the kind words and the fellowship on Sunday. And I've enjoyed being in your area. And I actually got to preach over at the Christian School, Colonial Christian School, at their three chapels today. And from my perspective, it went well. And several of the students thanked me, and maybe they do that for everyone. I don't know, but it felt like it went well to me. And so I'm very appreciative of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. We'll talk about that. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Dear Lord, in the half hour we have remaining tonight, I pray you'd bless our service. Thank you for these dear folks. And we've got church folks here and visitors, people who've sacrificed of their time. We've got busy lives, and we live in such a fast-paced world, and many of them have kids that go to Christian school, and so they're spending their time here tonight. Lord, thank you for that. I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit, Lord, that we would go from here encouraged to keep taking steps forward for you. In your name I pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to answer the question tonight, why does God allow suffering? In fact, let's even make it more specific. Why does God allow Christians to suffer? In fact, according to a lot of the televangelists, now let me just say this, just because an evangelist appears on television does not mean he's a televangelist, okay? I just want to get that out there. Because I have appeared on television, but I am not a televangelist, okay? But the televangelists and the health and wealth gospel people and the word, the power of the word and the self-manifesting people and all that stuff, by the way, that stuff's creeping into our churches and you got to watch out for it. Well, if you just kind of think about it and manifest it, I don't know how many of you remember the musical, The Music Man. But for the three of you who do know what I'm talking about, he had something called the Think System, where if you just thought about the music, you could play it. And it was funny and silly, and it's just a made-up musical, but people think that way spiritually. If I just think it, then I'll manifest. I'm going to think that I'm going to be rich, and I'm going to think that I'm going to be healthy and wealthy and wise, you know, and all this. And guess what? Just thinking about it doesn't make it happen. Now, if you'd be willing to send in $1,000 to our ministry, we'll pray over a napkin and send it to you, and that napkin will do absolutely nothing. But in all seriousness, it's not true that those who trust Christ have no trouble. I mean, Paul didn't get that memo. I mean, Paul, historians tell us that all after all the beatings and the stonings that he went through, we tend to think that God preserved his life but didn't let him have any scars. God's word doesn't say that anywhere. Historians tell us that towards the end of his life, Paul was really horrible to look at because of all the disfigurement that he had gone through. Now, I don't know if that was true or not because that's not inspired word of God, but I personally think that perhaps his thorn in the flesh might have been his physical appearance. Some people think it was an eye issue, that he couldn't read very well, couldn't see very well. Other people think it was actually a running eyesore. That would have been difficult to manage. And there are clues throughout Scripture. We'll talk about that thorn in the flesh in a moment. But I want to give you five reasons tonight, four for the Christian. Let's get the first one out of the way. If you're not saved, the reason God will allow you to suffer is to draw you to himself. So if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, or you're watching the recording or watching live, whatever it might be, and you're going through a difficult time, allow that to draw you to Jesus so you can be saved. I'll put that as the thumb out of the five reasons, okay? But for those of us who are saved, what about those four reasons? Well, first of all, I want to give you this. God allows his people, God will allow you, God will allow me to go through difficulty to rid us of pride. To rid us of pride. Look at what he says. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. What's he talking about there? He didn't write Revelations. Okay, well, first of all, it's not the book of Revelations. It's actually the book of Revelation. And it's not John's revelation, by the way. It's actually the revelation of Jesus Christ to John, right? And no, Paul didn't write that book. He's not talking about that. He's talking about revelations. You realize that Paul didn't just meet Jesus on the road to Damascus. If you look through Scripture, you find out that Paul was actually trained by Jesus for like 2 years. You could check that out. I forgot to write the passages down, but the truth of the book of Romans and the truth, because that's our doctrinal center, really, for the church age, right? The church age was something that was not known in the Old Testament. Do you realize that Abraham didn't know about the church age? You realize Moses didn't know about that? David didn't know about that? In fact, I won't go into this in great detail tonight. It's actually my favorite topic. But I won't go into much detail, but I'll mention this. The devil didn't know about it. In fact, God's word says if the devil would have known everything that Jesus was going to accomplish by his death, burial, and resurrection, he wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Have you ever wondered, like, why did the devil enable the plan of salvation? Because he didn't understand everything that was going to happen as a result from it. But having said that, Paul was used of the Lord to write so much of what we rely on. Can you imagine being used of God that way? In fact, he was shown things that he's not allowed to tell us. Doesn't that make you curious? I remember being a little kid. I'm still a little kid inside. I'm about 10th grade in my head. All right? Maybe some of you wives out there, your husband is the same way. He might be 45 or 50 on the outside, but in here a lot of the time, 10th grade, right? But I remember someone say, hey, I know something. Oh, yeah, what is it? Well, I can't tell you. Why'd you tell me then? Well, I know something great that I'd love to tell you. Why won't you tell me? Right? I think God allowed Paul to write those words just to pique our curiosity, because there are great things awaiting God's people that it's not lawful for him to speak. He's not allowed to tell us. But see, if anyone had an excuse to become proud, it would have been Paul. That's why he's saying, lest I be exalted above measure. See, pride is the enemy of God working in us. And church, I know we've got visitors here, and it's true for you and your churches as well. But Trinity Baptist Church, I want to encourage you tonight, as you want to go forward and see God do great things and work in you and through you, I'm telling you right now that the greatest stumbling block to God working is going to be pride. Well, sometimes God allows us to go through difficulty to rid us of pride. I mean, pride, after all, the middle letter of pride is I, right? Middle letter of sin is I. It's all about I trouble. Thinking of ourselves higher than we ought. Almost said more higher. You know the original sin was pride?
I thought original sin was Eve eating the apple in the Garden of Eden.
Okay, well, first of all, I don't think it was an apple. Personally, I think it was a pomegranate, but I can't prove that. But that's personally what I think it was. But a long story short, that I understand what you're saying by that, and then Adam sinned willfully and all that. I understand that. But really, if you go back in history, the devil in heaven as Lucifer, I will be like the Most High, right? I will ascend to the Mount Assembly. I will be up at the sides of the north, and all that fascinating description that kind of describes what the whole other dimension is like. But it was pride. And pride can be sneaky, can't it? Pride can garb itself in spiritual apparel. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. You know, some people think, one man told me afterward, and I studied it out, and it seems to be true. Every time that word messenger is used, it's actually in Scripture, it's talking about a person. So his thought was that the thorn in the flesh was a person. How many of you have ever had someone that irritated you? Don't look around, just raise your hand. People can be irritating, right? Maybe it was Alexander the coppersmith, right? He did him much evil. Maybe it was Demas who forsook him for the world. Who knows? All these people who rejected Paul, remember? I mean, he went through all these different things. We don't know. And frankly, I'm kind of glad that we don't know what the thorn in the flesh was, because knowing us, we'd end up worshiping it. You know, what's wrong? Well, I have St. Paul's holy affliction. That's just the way we as humans are. we'd worship the hive. I have St. Paul's holy affliction. Oh, well, your suffering is much more holy than my suffering, you know. Yes, I have double Paul's affliction. Oh, okay. People really don't like you. You know, whatever. I'm glad we don't know what it was, because any of our trials and troubles that we go through can fit in there. Listen, friend, God never wastes pain. He doesn't waste suffering. And if you're going through difficulty, maybe it's to rid you of pride. But number two, I want you to see, not only is suffering intended in the life of a Christian to rid us of pride, but also to ready us to pray. To ready us to pray. Look at what he says. For this thing, verse 8, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. In other words, he's saying, I begged God, Lord, would you please? I could serve you so much more. You ever think of something like that when you go through difficulty? I'm going to use kind of a weak illustration, but hopefully it'll still get the point across. We've been having all kinds of crazy trouble with our expedition, and it's really inconvenient. Because when the transmission goes out and you're just kind of stuck, you know, I have prayed to the Lord, Lord, we could serve you so much better if we could get to the meetings, right? It seems to me, from my little tiny human vantage point, that the Lord would want us to make every meeting that we ever schedule, or else why would he have us schedule them? So, Lord, why do you keep making it so the car breaks down? Right? I won't ask for a show of hands if any of you have been there too. We kind of talk to the Lord like that. Like, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the Lord. I'm not trying to be ungrateful, but Lord, I don't understand. You know, sometimes the Lord allows us to go through things so that it reawakens in us our sense of need. You know why we don't pray? Two reasons. We don't pray, number one, because prayer is hard work. And number two, because we don't have a sense of need. Prayer is a declaration of dependency on God. It's saying, I cannot, you must. And in our natural human state, we don't like to admit that we can't do anything. That's why prayer so many times is our last resort instead of our first reaction. But God, sometimes he wants to grow us. And now, admittedly, sometimes he grows us in painful, intense sessions. I'm going to take a 90-second detour. Are you ready? This is my theory on my own personal spiritual growth. Okay. I look at some people and it looks to me like they just grow spiritually, like in a steady incline, you know, just a little bit more like the Lord every month. It's like almost like every hour, they're just a little bit more like the Lord. And I'm like, man, I kind of wish my spiritual life would go that way. My spiritual life looks like stair steps. Like I'm just going along like normal. And then I hit a wall. And then the Lord grows me. Ah! And it's painful, right? And there's growing pains. How many of you remember those? Maybe some of you are in that right now. Brandon has grown so much over the last like 6 months, right? And that, you know, growing pains. I remember those in the shins, right? All that. I was this tall in fifth, sixth grade. I thought I was going to be a basketball player because this is great, right? Didn't work out that way. That's okay. But then he just grows me this way, and then another kind of plateau. And it's painful. I don't know. I've seen some of these memes and these diagrams that show different people's ideas of spiritual growth, where it's not just stair steps, but there's like valleys and, you know, dragons and fire and you know, just all kinds of stuff that you don't see. I'm glad God doesn't show us our entire life first. Because I don't know, I couldn't handle it. He grows us, and one of the ways he does that is by saying, you know what, you need to be on your knees. You know, prayer is the lungs of the church. That's what Spurgeon said. I'm going to sing a song for you about prayer. In fact, it's titled, I'll Pray Again. And this song, the first verse, is based on a burden that I have for pastors. I hope you'll pray for your pastors, because they've got targets on them. And if you're visiting from different churches, pray for your pastor. The second verse is based on real life situation from some friends of ours who lost two of their children to a rare genetic disorder before the age of 10. But yet they continued on with their prayer life and really have been a challenge. Their situation has been a challenge to me. Pastoring a small church for decades now in rural Michigan. But even though it's a little bit different to sing in the middle of a sermon, I thought this would go along with this point. And then we'll finish up on the other side. I'll pray again. It was late Sunday night, the car door closed softly, footsteps came up the stairs. Young Pastor Tony met his wife at the entrance, his face lined with a thousand cares. We've been here 2 years and nothing's changed, these people won't listen at all. I'm out of answers and I'm feeling small. But as he read in the Bible, page after page, his heart was convinced to stay in the race. He knelt by his desk, then lay on the floor. Though I don't understand what it's for, I'll trust one day more. I'll pray again, I'll kneel again, I'll knock on the door, ask him for more strength for the fight, peace.
peace in the night. Trusting by faith, the answer he'll send. I'll pray again. At a quarter past two, again in the morning, a mother wakes up again. Her youngest daughter has a special condition. They say that she won't pass 10. The worry's so great and nothing's changed. Does God understand us at all? We're out of answers and we're feeling small. But as she read in the Bible, page after page, the comfort came in right along with grace. Her hand held her daughter and they knelt on the floor. Though I don't understand what it's for, we'll trust one day more. We'll pray again, we'll kneel again, we'll knock on the door, ask him for more. Strength for the fight, peace in the night, trusting by faith, the answer he'll send. We'll pray again. Darkness surrounds you, and God seems so silent, your back's against the wall. You may be tempted to doubt God's goodness. It feels like he won't hear your call. The questions take shape and cloud your mind. Is God in control after all? My life's out of balance and I'm going to fall. But if you'll read in the Bible, page after page, you'll see that he's there and he'll never forsake. Surrender your life is all you must do. You'll begin to see God's point of view. He's there to change you. Go pray again, go kneel again, go knock on the door, ask him for more. Strength for the fight, peace in the night, trusting by faith, the answer he'll send. Go pray again.
Sometimes God allows us to go through difficulty, not just to rid us of pride, but to ready us to pray. Very quickly here, I want to give you the two other reasons tonight. Number three, sometimes to refocus our perspective. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Look at this, verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities. What? In persecutions and distresses. Wait a minute. You take pleasure in these things? No, Paul was not some kind of weird spiritual masochist. Okay, that's not what's going on here. We have a perspective change. What do I mean by that? Well, so much hinges on our perspective of things, doesn't it? There were two shoe salesmen who were sent to the continent of Africa. I almost said country. The continent of Africa. And they were in a specific spot. I don't remember where. But they were sent there to analyze the potential for shoe sales. One guy comes home and he says, "No, there's no potential. No one there wears shoes." The other guy comes back and says, "Massive potential. Nobody wears shoes." Our perspective matters, doesn't it? I'm not talking about pessimist versus optimist versus realist, etc. You know, there's usually a pessimist and an optimist and they marry each other. Of course, while the pessimist and optimist are arguing about is the glass half full or half empty, the opportunist drinks it. But that's not really what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is Paul here begs God three times, right? By the way, those are three seasons of prayer, not just, you know, pain in the neck prayers. A thorn in the flesh prayer is way different than a pain in the neck prayer. You know, "Dear Lord, thank you for this food, please bless through my body, and oh, would you please help this thing," right? That's a pain in the neck prayer. A thorn in the flesh prayer is a whole different thing. But his perspective was, "I could serve you so much better. Lord, would you take this away?" When he finally understood that, no, this is my will for you to go through, he didn't fight it. He accepted it. And he says, "Then I'm going to treat it as what he wants me to do. So I'm going to take pleasure in doing the will of God." It reminds me of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now listen, I know it's Monday night and it's not like deep theology night, okay? But I understand there's different people that have different views on, you know, could Jesus have not gone to the cross, or could he have not, all these things. I have my opinion on all that stuff. I don't want to insert my opinion. What I do want to do tonight is say there was some sort of struggle there because he sweat blood. And he was wrestling somehow with what was before him. "But nevertheless, thy will be done." That's what Paul's doing here. He's saying, "Now, okay, Lord, I understand." There was a lady that I knew. She's still living, actually. I was surprised to hear that she was. But when I was young, she played the cello and was just a fantastic cello player. But she got the terrible disease MS. Multiple sclerosis. In a crowd this size, I'm sure someone here has been touched, either you yourself or family member or friend. My grandmother suffered with that, among other things, through her entire life. In fact, it eventually stole away her muscle ability. She was an artist, but between MS and her arthritis, she sometimes couldn't hold the brush. So she learned to paint by holding a brush with her teeth. In fact, I have a painting she did when I won a Grand Prix competition with the cars, you know. I think we were talking about that Saturday, some of us that were here. And she painted a photo of me jumping in the air. There was a photo that she painted, you understand. She didn't paint a photo, right? She saw a photo and painted the portrait of it. And she did it with her teeth. Wow. I miss Grandma. But anyway, this lady, eventually, this cruel disease stole her ability to play the cello. And you know, as time went on and I would come through and preach meetings, sometimes she would come to the meetings when we were in the area, and I just knew that I would need to set aside some time to talk with her, because she was going to ask me, "How could God allow this to happen in my life? And things are awful and things are horrible." Now listen, I don't want any of you to think that I'm discounting the difficulty someone goes through when they have a debilitating disease like that. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I've not had to face that particular trial, and so my heart goes out to any of you who might be here, or perhaps you can't even come to the meeting because you've got something that prohibits you and inhibits you. But having said that, I knew that every time I'd be in town or around where she would come, she'd come to the meeting, but I never saw her smile. And my heart did go out to her, but I didn't know what much to say after the first 20 minutes or so. Anyway, this went on for a long time. But something changed. I'll never forget. This is after about 10 years after we had been on the road. I saw her come in the back. still had the walker thing. I told my family, I said, okay, so-and-so is here, you know, just let me spend some time. We have code words among us as a family that so we know, okay, there's someone, daddy's going to be talking to somebody, we'll take care of this over here, etc. Long story short, as I approached her, she had a smile on her face. I mean, I knew who she was, but I kind of almost didn't recognize her, right? Like, wow, who is this person? I have not met her. I've not seen her since I was like 5 years old. She had a smile on her face. She talked to me, and the first words out of her mouth, isn't God good? No, she wasn't miraculously healed from her MS. No, she wasn't able to start playing her instrument again. But I can guarantee you this, after 10 or 15 minutes of just talking, not once did she mention her difficulty. Not once did she groan or complain, if you allow me to use that term, about what God had allowed to happen in her life. I can guarantee you that something happened between the 2 years or 3 years prior when we had our last conversation to that conversation where somewhere, I'm not privy to her personal life, but somewhere in there she did what Paul did where she finally said, okay, Lord, this obviously is your will for me. I'm not going to fight you. I'm going to welcome it as a gift from you. Now, friends, hear me tonight. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you in your life how much wrestling with God is enough. God clearly, remember, Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord. There is something to be said for wrestling with God. I'm not here to tell you, well, 1 week is enough or 2 years is enough. I did an interview with a pastor's widow that'll be coming out on the podcast that I have out in October, and it was an hour-long interview, very, very insightful. And I can't tell her, oh, she's still grieving, but she's got a certain victory that's there, that's hard for me to describe without you listening to it when it comes out. It's free to listen to. You can listen to that. I encourage you to do so. But that's what where we need to be, friend. Maybe you've been battling with something in your life. Lord, how can this be true? I've done everything right, and you allow this in my life. Well, maybe he wants to refocus your perspective away from what your life you thought it would be to the plan he has for you. Very quickly, let's do the last reason. Not only will God allow suffering to rid us of pride, to ready us to pray, to refocus our perspective, but finally tonight, God will allow suffering in the life of a Christian to renew us with strength. To renew us with strength. Isn't that what he says? That what Jesus says? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Look at the end of verse 10. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, sometimes we come to this passage, and I've heard people preach and teach kind of like, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger, you know, that type of thing. So it's kind of like, well, after you've gone through the difficulty, you will be stronger on the other side. Well, I hope so. That's not a bad thought. But that's not what the passage is teaching. The passage here is literally saying, in the moments of weakness, I am at the same time strong. While I'm weak, I am simultaneously strong. How can that be? Well, can I ask you a question tonight? Have you ever been around someone, a Christian, who's going through a difficulty, and you wanted to be a blessing to them, but after spending time with them, you kind of feel like maybe you got the bigger blessing? Some of you are smiling and nodding. You know that. There's a pastor. He's with the Lord now, but he, 94, I think he got to, something like that. But he had had a stroke. This is years ago. He had had a stroke, and I wanted to just spend some time talking with him. And so I approached him, and I said, Brother Paul, I just want to encourage you. And I spent some time. It was hard for him to form sentences together. You know, I felt like I got the bigger blessing because it was like I could see Christ through him. See, when we're weak, that's more of an opportunity for ourselves to be out of the way so that Christ can shine through us. In fact, friends, listen, some of the greatest ministry you will ever accomplish in your life will be when you are going through a hard time. Here's my definition of ministry. I don't know if I heard it somewhere, probably did, like Spurgeon said, I milk a lot of cows, but I churn my own butter. And that's just a way of saying, you know, I listen and I read and I study a lot, and sometimes I forget where I've heard things. But I love this definition of ministry. If you're taking notes tonight or mental notes, I'd encourage you to write this down. Ministry is anything I do or say to draw another person closer to Christ. Isn't that great? It's not like a big professional definition. It's just practical. Ministry is anything I do or say to draw another person closer to Christ. You know why God might allow you to go through a difficulty? So that through going through that difficulty, you can help draw another person to Christ. God might have you go through a season of grief. Why? So you can identify later down the road with someone who's going through that same grief. Maybe you're a parent and your heart aches because you've got a prodigal child. Well, maybe God is using that in your life so that you can be a blessing and encouragement to someone else's child. See, God never wastes pain. And yes, people have free will, but God uses all these things in a way that I can't explain to you. The last time I understood the free will of man and the sovereignty of God was when I was a sophomore in Bible college. Because sophomores in Bible college understand everything about that, right? Because we solve it in the dorms. So it's all solved, right? The longer I live and the more I'm in ministry and the more I study, the more I realize I don't understand. I don't understand how prayer works. But I understand that God sometimes just wants to spend time with me. And boy, that's humbling. Tonight, friend, as we close, maybe you're going through some suffering. Maybe you're going through a hard time. Maybe it's financial. And it's not like you've made bad decisions. It's just the struggle is there. We did everything right, you know. We were going to call Dave Ramsey and everything, and then everything blew up, you know. You know who Dave Ramsey is, right? The debt-free guy, right? We were really close to that at one point, you know. We're going to call Dave Ramsey. Oh, things changed, right? Maybe it's a health difficulty you're going through. Maybe it's a relationship difficulty, and you think that'll never be put back together. Whatever it might be, friend, listen, there's a reason, and God will use it in your life. Maybe it's to rid you of pride. Maybe it's to put you on your knees, to ready you to pray. Refocus your perspective, or renew you with power. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. I brought this message tonight because I need it. I need it. I need to be reminded sometimes that God hasn't lost control in your life. God's not surprised. Sometimes he plans things. Sometimes he allows things. But we do know this. Nothing passes by his watchful eye. Surprising him. It surprises us. But maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know what, Brother Ben, I needed that. I'm going through a difficulty. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to point you out or embarrass you, but would you slip your hand up as a testimony? Yes, thank you, brother. Yes, thank you, ma'am. Yes, thank you. Thank you. You can put those down. Amen. Yes, folks of all ages. Amen. I needed that, Brother Ben. Anyone else tonight so I can pray for you? Yes, thank you. I see that. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, oh, friend, don't leave here tonight without trusting him. We'll hang around after the service. I know a lot of people got to get back to get to bed for kids and different and work tomorrow and such. We'll hang around as long as somebody needs us. We'd love to chat with you and show you from God's Word how you can know Christ. If you're watching online, oh, friend, you can send a message to the church. You can send a message to us if you need to know how to trust Christ. We'd love to show you. But let's leave from here encouraged that we've got a God who cares. Dear Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for the fact that you don't waste pain. Lord, sometimes that's difficult. All the time it's difficult. But Lord, would you help us? Lord, thank you for many hands that were lifted tonight. That's just representation of hearts this evening. I pray that you would strengthen each and every person that lifted their hand tonight, said, I'm going through a difficulty. Lord, would you make yourself real to them, encourage them so that they can go forward for you. Lord, we love you tonight. Guide us as we go from here and bring us back together tonight for one final service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor, you come.